Hello Hope Singapore. Hello to everyone who is watching this online. A very good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be watching this. Ever since our church moved our services online 3 weeks ago, we have seen people from over 30 countries joining us in our online services. So wherever you may be watching this, I'm so glad that you're able to join us today. And for those of you who are watching this and joining us for the very first time, I want to extend a special warm welcome to you. You are our special guest, and I pray that you will be blessed by our service today. You know, today we'll be continuing with the third part of our sermon series called Jesus, the Purchaser of Our Victory. For those of you who are new with us, this year, our church, we have embarked on our focus called We Have Won. As believers, we know that we still face challenges and uncertainties in our life. But we know that it is important for us to live up the victory that Jesus has won for us on the cross. And as a church, we have embarked on a study to discover for us the biblical basis of our victory in our God. So from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, we have learned that we can anchor our victory on God's unchanging attribute of compassion, power, and faithfulness. And we have seen how God faithfully led the Israelites throughout the Old Testament. But the Israelites, they have consistently disobeyed God and continued in their sin. And as a result, they were separated from God. And as we move from the Old Testament to now the New Testament, we will see how God took care of this issue of sin once and for all by sending His Son Jesus to us. You know, 3 weeks ago, we started this new series called Jesus, the Purchaser of Our Victory, to explore who Jesus is and the role that Jesus played in God's redemption plan for us. Jesus makes 7 I Am statements in the Gospel of John, and we'll be exploring 4 of them in this series. In the first part of this series, we saw how Jesus is the source of our victory, that He's the bread of life and He's all that we need in life. And last week, we saw how Jesus is the price of our victory, that He is the gate and He's the good shepherd who laid down His life and paid the price for our sins. And if you have missed those sermons, you can catch up with those sermons from our church website. And you can go to our church website at hopesingapore.org.sg/sermons to watch this. And this week, we are going to conclude the final part of our sermon series where we will explore how Jesus is the hope. We all know that hope is such an important thing in our life, especially in times like this where we are facing a global pandemic. And hope is what keeps people going in tough times. You know, hope kept millions of prisoners of war and Jews in the Nazi concentration camp alive in World War II when they look forward to the hope that one day they can be liberated. So hope is very important in our life. But do you know that there's something that can destroy our hope? There's something that can take away our hope. There is a popular saying, where there is life, there is hope. This means that whenever there is life, there's always hope that there can be a remedy, that there is something that can be better. But when death occurs, it will mark the end of everything. For a person who is sick, whenever there is hope, there's always hope that as long as this person is alive, there's always hope that he can get well again, he can recover. For a person who is jobless and facing a financial difficulty, there's always hope that this person can find a job and his financial situation can turn around as long as he's alive. And for marriages that are failing, there's always hope of a reconciliation as long as both the husband and the wife, they are still alive. And for parents whose children have turned wayward, there's always hope that the children will come back as long as they are alive. But when death occurs in any of this situation, it will mark the end of hope. So it seems like death triumphs over hope. In fact, the fear of death and the fear of dying is one of the greatest fear among humans. And the reason why COVID-19 is so scary is because not only is it able to be spread very easily, but it can also bring about death. And to date, there are already over 40,000 people who have died from this virus. And the number is still continuing to grow every day. So is there a way to overcome death or does death truly mark the end of everything? Is death really the end of hope? While death in itself is a certainty for all of us, it also brings about uncertainty and insecurity in what lies ahead beyond death. So how can we then have a hope in our present life that will give us a sense of peace and a sense of security to what lies beyond death? Today, allow me to unpack a passage of scripture from the Gospel of John that will reveal how Jesus is our eternal hope. So if you have a Bible with you, please have a Bible turn to John chapter 11, and we are going to read these few verses together, verse 23 to verse 27. So John chapter 11, verse 23 to verse 27. Let me read to you these verses. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And before we continue, let's commit this time of learning to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for today that we can gather in front of our screen to study your word. Lord, in uncertain times like this, we know that you are the hope that we can look towards. That even in the difficult times that we are in, you are always there for us. And as we study your word, may you give us the assurance, may you give us the peace that transcends all understanding. Help us to know that you are the God that's always there for us. And we commit this time of learning into your hands. May you bless this time of learning and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. These few verses that we have just read, they are in the middle of a great miracle that Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. So allow me to provide some background to these verses so that we can understand the whole story in its context. You know, the Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, who was a close disciple of Jesus, often referred to as the disciple Jesus loved. And John makes it very clear in his Gospel, in John chapter 20, verse 31, that he wrote his Gospel so that his readers may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing in him, they may have life in his name. So John presented seven miracles that Jesus did to reveal his divine nature to us. And the raising of Lazarus from the dead is the last of this miracle. And it's a miracle that only recorded in the Gospel of John. John also included in his Gospel Jesus' seven I Am statements in which Jesus revealed more of himself to us. These seven I Am statements, they are contained here. Let me read out to you. First of all, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine." These seven statements are so important in revealing who Jesus truly is, because "I am" is the name of God in the Old Testament. When Moses met God at the burning bush, he asked God for his name. And this was what God replied in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God replied, "I am who I am." So in making these seven statements, Jesus is revealing to us that he is indeed God. And we have already explored three of these I Am statements. And today we'll explore another I Am statement as we unpack the story of raising Lazarus from the dead. The story started at the beginning of John chapter 11 with a family in crisis. So there were three members in this family: two sisters, Martha and Mary, and their brother, Lazarus. They were living in this small village called Bethany, about less than 3 kilometers from the city of Jerusalem. So one day, Lazarus fell very sick, and the two sisters decided to send a message to Jesus, telling Jesus that the one you love is sick. Now we know that Jesus has a very close relationship with this family. John told us in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So how did Jesus respond to this message after receiving this message? And we are going to see this, how Jesus responded to this message in verse 4 to verse 7. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and the sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." So Jesus mentioned 2 things in his response. First of all, that this sickness will not end in death. And second, that this event has a divine purpose in bringing glory to God through the glorification of his Son. And one more interesting thing that Jesus did was that he stayed on for another 2 more days after hearing the news. Now, this was a very strange response. It is definitely not the usual response of love that we are expecting. You know, when someone sends you a message telling you that someone you love has fallen sick, I mean, the thing that we want to do is to quickly visit this person and offer a prayer for this person. But Jesus did not respond in this way. In fact, Jesus stayed on for 2 more days. Now, if you ask me, that doesn't look like a response of love to me. And when Jesus finally decided to go to Lazarus, he told his disciples in verse 14 to verse 15. This was what he said. He said, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." So Jesus had intentionally waited for Lazarus to die before he goes back. And the reason why he did this is in order for him to reveal his glory to his disciples so that they may believe. You know, the nature of God's love, the nature of God's love is so different from what you normally expect a loving response to be. In our human mind, we may think that the most loving things to do when Jesus heard about the news is to immediately go and visit Lazarus and pray for him. But for God, he knows everything. He has perfect knowledge. And he knows that the best way to show his love is to reveal who Jesus is to us. So what is it about Jesus that God wants to reveal to us that is more important and more loving than healing Lazarus? Let's continue our story as Jesus and his disciples make their way to Bethany. On their arrival, Jesus discovered that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And when Martha heard the news that Jesus was coming, she quickly went to meet Jesus at the outskirts of the village. When Martha saw Jesus, Martha said to him in verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Being someone close to Jesus, Martha probably have seen Jesus perform many miracles before, healing many people before. So she has the hope that Jesus could have healed Lazarus from his sickness. And now that Lazarus is dead, it seems like Martha was rebuking or even blaming Jesus for coming late. Yet her follow-up statement in verse 22 shows us that there is this hope and there's this confidence within her. She said in verse 22, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. It's as though she's saying, "I don't know what you can do now, Jesus, but I know that God can do something through you." She wasn't expecting Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, because later on in the story, we will know that she actually tried to prevent Jesus from removing the stone to the tomb. But in her statement of faith, it actually shows her confidence and hope that God can do something through Jesus despite Lazarus' death. So is there really a hope in Jesus, even in the face of death? And if there is a hope in Jesus, what kind of hope would it look like? Is it an empty hope, or is it something that we can look forward to with certainty in our life? Let us look at Jesus' reply to Martha and his subsequent I am statement that provided the basis of our hope. There are two things that we can learn in the passage here on why Jesus is our hope. The first thing why Jesus is our hope is because he promises resurrection in our future. Jesus is our hope because he promises resurrection in our future. Note, Jesus told us in verse 23 that her brother Lazarus will rise again. When we read about this verse for the first time, it seems as though Jesus was very cold, that he was devoid of any human emotions or feeling. I mean, you can imagine here, this lady, she has just lost her brother. She was still grieving and coming before you and even blaming you for not doing anything to save her brother. And all Jesus said was, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. I mean, it's like that normal word of consolation that we offer to a family when we visited a funeral. But we have to know that Jesus is not a normal person like us, who do not know what to do or what to say when someone dies. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, because in verse 11 earlier, he told his disciples that he was going to wake Lazarus up. So the word of Jesus, your brother will rise again, is not just a word of consolation to Martha because Jesus doesn't know what to do or what to say. But the word, your brother will rise again, is a word of assurance to Martha because Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. But to Martha, she thought that Jesus was trying to console her by referring to this Jewish belief that all the dead will arise again on the last day when the Messiah comes back. So in her mind, Martha just probably regarded Jesus as a religious teacher or rabbi whom was given power by God to heal and to perform other miracles. She has never thought of Jesus as a supernatural being who can raise the dead, who can even raise a dead body that has started decaying after 4 days. And that is when Jesus decided to reveal who he is to Martha with the I am pronouncement in verse 25 to verse 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Essentially, there are two parts to this pronouncement. First of all, Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And the second part, I am the life. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So we'll focus on the first part of resurrection, and then the second part, we'll go through it in the second point. So how did Jesus promise us resurrection? Jesus did not promise us resurrection by telling us that he will provide resurrection. Although that by itself is already such an amazing and mind-blowing feat for someone to be able to provide resurrection. But Jesus went one step further by telling us that he is the resurrection. That is his promise to us, that he is the resurrection. You just cannot separate the two of them, Jesus and resurrection. It is Jesus alone who is the resurrection, and it's Jesus who can also provide resurrection. There is no resurrection outside of Jesus. You know, in his love, Jesus revealed this amazing truth about himself to Martha and to all of us. That resurrection is not that abstract Jewish belief that is some this far distant away, but resurrection can now be found in the person of Jesus when we believe in him. So this bold proclamation is a foreshadow of Jesus' own resurrection after his death on the cross. You know, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins and to enable us to have access to a holy God. But Jesus did not remain dead. He resurrected 3 days later. And that is the reason why millions of Christians will be celebrating Easter next Sunday. You know, the resurrection of Jesus proved that he has the power over death and victory over sin. And this power and this victory is also given to those who believe in him. The resurrection of Jesus proved that his promise of resurrection is not an empty promise, but that we can have new life in Jesus. Knowing that Jesus is a resurrection should change the way how we live our life. Knowing that Jesus is the resurrection should change how we view and feel about death. Knowing that death is not the end, we do not have to be fearful about death. We do not have to be living in fear of not knowing when death is coming, because Jesus is our hope and we are confident of our resurrection. You know, even in this COVID-19 situation that we are in, we know that many people are affected by it, and many more people will be affected in the coming days. Perhaps there are some of you out there, you have this uncertainty and fear in your heart right now, not knowing what the future may be like. Some of you may have this fear and uncertainty that you will lose your health or you will lose your job. Perhaps some of you, you are even the sole breadwinner of your family, and there are a lot of anxieties in your heart. You're just wondering what will happen to you and your family if you fell sick for a long time or if you lose your job. And this whole situation doesn't seem to be too hopeful at all. Jesus understands how you feel. Jesus understands your fear. Jesus understands your anxieties. And Jesus cares for you. Jesus is not that high mighty God that's sitting up there in heaven, looking down at us, not able to relate with us and not able to understand what we are going through. But Jesus, he is very personal with each and every one of us. Even in this story of Lazarus, when Jesus saw Mary and all the people weeping and grieving over the death of Lazarus, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The Bible told us that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The original Greek word that was used describes a very intense and complicated emotion. One that is a mixture of upset and anger. And the Bible told us that Jesus wept. Jesus was in tears. God was in tears. The God who created heaven and earth was in tears because he saw the devastating effect of sin on mankind. How sin brought about death, and how death brought about deep sorrow and pain for man. So Jesus understands what we are going through. Jesus understands our pain and our suffering. Not only does Jesus understand our pain and suffering, but he also acted to take care of the problem of death and sin. The resurrection of Jesus provides for us power over death and victory over sin. You know, even as God took care of the bigger problem of death and promises us resurrection, we can trust that he is also a loving Father who will take care of our daily needs and provide for us in our time of need. So if you're feeling fearful, you're feeling uncertain, continue to look towards Jesus. Continue to hold on to the hope that's in our Lord Jesus. And as Jesus defeated sin and death on the cross, he has also set us free from the bondage of sin. And this provided us with a hope, especially to those of us who are struggling very intensely with the sin in our lives. Knowing that sin does not have a hold on us, help helps us to understand that we no longer have to give in to sin, even in the midst of our struggle. You know, as I reflect upon my own life, there are areas that I'm still struggling with. Like, I'm struggling with trying to be a more loving person to the people around me. I'm struggling with trying to be more patient and also trying to manage my anger better, especially when I'm under stress. But as I go through this struggle, I've learned to always look towards the cross and remind myself of the victory that Jesus has won on the cross, that Jesus has defeated sin and death on the cross. And His resurrection has given me the hope that the Holy Spirit that is within me can give me the strength and the power to help me to overcome these challenges in my life as I continue to journey with Jesus. So the first thing that we have learned, Jesus is our hope because He promises us resurrection in the future. And the second thing that we can learn here, why Jesus is our hope, is that Jesus gives eternal life in the present. Jesus is our hope because He gives eternal life in the present. We now turn our attention to the second part of the I am statement that says, I am the life. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. It tells us that Jesus is life. He doesn't have to depend or draw His life from someone or draw His life from somewhere. Life exists in Jesus. He is the source of life. And because He's the source of life, He can give life to those who believe in Him. And the Bible tells us that whoever believes in Jesus and are currently living in a relationship with Him will never die. This means that they will receive eternal life. So eternal life is not just life after death. Eternal life is not something that we receive when we die. But the moment we believe in Jesus, the moment we decided to follow Jesus, eternal life has already begun. And this eternal life will also continue on, even after our life on this earth. John chapter 17, verse 3, it tells us what is eternal life. Jesus said, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life is more than just life after death. It is not only life that is endless in length, but eternal life is also a life that is endless in value and endless in meaning because of our fruitful relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me repeat. Eternal life is not just endless in length, but eternal life is also endless in meaning and value because of our fruitful relationship with God and Jesus Christ. So after Jesus revealed Himself as the resurrection and the life to Martha, He turned and asked Martha this question: "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" And Martha responded in a response of faith by telling Jesus in verse 27 that she believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and He has come to fulfill Jewish belief. And even though Martha made this declaration over here, we will know later that she still didn't have a complete understanding of who Jesus is at this point. Because later on, she tried to stop Jesus from removing the stone from the tomb. But Jesus is not demanding that we have a complete understanding of who He is before we can receive eternal life. The moment we are able to declare our faith in Jesus by faith, we can receive eternal life, even when we do not have complete understanding. And as the story continues to unfold throughout the rest of the chapter, we will see how Jesus actually raised Lazarus from the dead. By then, Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. The body has started decaying. So Jesus prayed a prayer and commanded Lazarus to come out from the tomb. And to everyone's amazement, Lazarus walked out of his tomb, still wrapped in his burial cloth. This great miracle proved once again the bold claim of Jesus that he is the resurrection and the life, that he has lordship, he has authority over death. You know, Jesus is the only person who has ever conquered death. Death is not the end of hope. Death is not the end of hope because our hope is in Jesus. And Jesus has resurrected. He's not dead. So people, death is not the end of hope. If you are a believer of Jesus, how should we live out this eternal life that has already started? What does the Apostle Paul mean when he shared in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that to live is Christ and to die is gain? What does the Apostle Paul mean when he shared in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that to live is Christ and to die is gain? When our lives are no longer limited and defined by our physical death, it changes the way how we live our life. We can live a life that is different from the people around us that do not know Christ. For some of us who are working adults, if you know that eternal life has begun, it means that we do not have to wait for a relationship in God to start. That even right now, you already have a relationship with God and eternal life has started. So we can devote our time, talent and treasure towards building up God's kingdom, towards God's purposes, more than our own purpose. For those of us who are parents, if you know that eternal life has begun, it should change our parenting. Beyond just preparing our children for success in this earthly life, we have to recognize the significance and the importance of sharing about this God to our children so that they can know about God and this eternal life. And for some of us who are older, we may think that we have passed our prime, that we no longer have much purpose in our life as in this society of young and energetic people. But the truth is, eternal life has barely begun. So we can continue to look towards living a life that is purposeful, that we can continue to know God and to serve God with faith and with joy in our hearts. And as we live out this eternal life, we have to understand that it has to be motivated by our understanding of who God really is and God's purposes for us. Otherwise, we'll just be doing what other people are doing or just following the people in church, doing what is seemingly right. Even in this COVID-19 situation, we have seen and heard many organizations, many churches and individuals going out there to support and to help the weak and the vulnerable in the society, trying to provide for whatever that they need. And as I participated in some of these efforts, one of the questions that I constantly ask myself is, am I doing this just because the church is encouraging us to do something similar? Or am I doing this because I understand God's love for people and I want to be able to show this genuine love to my neighbors out of this eternal life that God has given to me? When we are able to do this with the right heart attitude, then God's name will be glorified. Perhaps for some of you out there, you may not have a relationship with this God yet. And today, as you heard this proclamation by Jesus, that He is the resurrection and the life, there are two choices that you can make. You can either choose to believe what Jesus said, that He is the resurrection and the life, or you can choose to reject Jesus as a liar. You know, Jesus has backed up His claim by raising Lazarus from the dead and also by His own resurrection. And Jesus' resurrection shows that He has power over death and victory over sin. And He has the power to forgive us of our sin, and He has the authority to give us eternal life. I can understand that perhaps some of you still have many questions about Christianity. There are still many things that you do not understand. What Jesus is asking for us is not complete understanding of who He is at this point in time. But even when we do not understand Him, are we able to entrust our life to Him by faith? If you are willing to do that, if you are wanting to surrender your life to Jesus and start following Jesus, I'm going to lead you together in a prayer later on to invite the Lord Jesus into your life. You know, friends, we have learned today that death does not take away hope, and death is not the end of everything. No matter what challenges and what uncertainties you may be facing right now, we know that in Jesus, we can have the hope because Jesus has overcome death and Jesus has promised us resurrection in the future and given us eternal life in the present. As we embark on this focus on we have won, we know that our victory can only come from Jesus. It is therefore important for us to understand who Jesus truly is, so that we are clear on what are some of these victories that we want to have. If our victory in our life is the same as the victory of our friends who do not know Jesus, then Jesus is just that person we go to for blessings, for healings, for promotions, for pay increment, for getting us out of trouble, for meeting our needs in life. While these things by itself is not wrong, the ultimate victory that Jesus wants us to have is to have victory over sin and death, and to have a relationship with God the Father. As we explore how Jesus is the source of our victory, we learn that true life can only be found in Jesus and not in anything this world can offer. And as we explore how Jesus is the price of our victory, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd who has laid down His life to pay the price for our sins, so that we are able to live a victorious life, a life to the full. And today, as we explore how Jesus is our hope, we learn that in Him, we are promised resurrection. And in Him, we are given an eternal life that begins now. Jesus had purchased our victory through His own life. Victory only comes from Jesus. So let's continue to trust Jesus, continue to surrender our lives to Him as He leads us into a life of victory. Now, as we put aside our writing materials and our notes, I'd like to take this time to pray for some of you. Let's take this time to pray. Some of us may be going through some tough times and difficulties right now. There are a lot of uncertainties, there are a lot of anxieties in your life, especially over this COVID-19 situation. You know, the situation is getting worse and worse every day. The economy is not getting any better. And there are news of pay cuts, there are news of retrenchment even happening right now. And despite all these uncertainties, I want to pray that God can give you a hope and a peace in your heart. So let's take some time to pray right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, today we have learned that You are our hope. You are our hope because You have overcome sin and death. And with that, You have promised us resurrection in the future. And You have given us an eternal life that starts even right now. And Lord Jesus, even through all these uncertainties that the world is facing right now, we know that You are the God who will not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we can look towards You with certainty, knowing that You are the God who will take care of all we need, because You have taken care of the bigger problem of death. And we can entrust our life to you, that you'll continue to provide for us. You'll continue to be there for us, giving us a hope in our present times. And Lord, I also want to pray and commit all my brothers and sisters who are struggling with areas of sin in their life, and there seems to be no way out for them. There seems to be so hopeless for them. But Lord, today we know that you have victory over sin. And you have given this victory to us when we believe in you. And today, we want to pray for all these brothers and sisters that they will focus their eyes on the cross, because it represents the victory that you have over sin. And we know that you can continue to lead us and guide us, that the Holy Spirit that's within us can strengthen us and empower us so that we are able to overcome all these struggles in our life and to have a victorious life. And Lord, we just ask right now for that peace that transcends all understanding to be with us, even as we go through the current times. Lord, we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to close our eyes, as we continue to bow our heads, I want to pray for another group of people. You are someone that has not come into a relationship with God yet. And today, as you heard this proclamation by Jesus, that He is the resurrection and the life, you just felt touched by God. And God is asking you this question today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? It doesn't take you to know the whole Bible before you believe. But as long as today you want to have this hope in Jesus, that even as you depart from this world, you can have this certainty that you'll be resurrected, that you can even start living eternal life right now. If today this is your desire, you want to place your trust in Jesus and to start following Him, you can pray this prayer together with me. Are you ready, people? Are you ready to pray this prayer with me to receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior? I will lead you in this prayer. So I'll say this prayer and you can repeat. I'll say one sentence and you can repeat the sentence after me. So if it's your desire today to want to follow Jesus, say, "Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life as my Lord, as my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen." Amen. And you have just prayed that prayer. Congratulations. You have come into a relationship with Jesus. And as a church, we want to help you to start in this wonderful journey. So this is a time of response. You can see the link to the response on the slide that is beside me. You can go to the response right now, because we want to connect with you and we want to provide you with some resources to help you to start this new journey with Jesus. So you can go to this link, hopesingapore.com/respond, and fill up your particulars, your name, give us your name, give us your email address. And when we receive those things, we are going to get in touch with you and we are going to provide you with some resources on how you can get started. So let's take some time to do that right now. And for some of you, you may have prayer requests, you may have answered prayers as well. And we want to hear from you and we want to give thanks for answered prayers. We have prayer ministers, we have our pastors who are ready to pray over your prayer requests, so we can share this response together with us as well. So go to the online form, fill up your prayer request, give us your thanksgiving point, and we can pray together with you and we can celebrate over answered prayers. So let's also take some time to do that right now. And church, we have come to the end of our service today. Allow me to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we depart to do our own things. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can have this opportunity to learn from your word. And as we depart from here, Lord, we just ask for your blessings to be upon each and every one of us. May you continue to watch over us. May you continue to give us your peace and your hope, O Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We commit the rest of the day into your hands. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. And all God's people will say, Amen. Thank you, everyone. We will see you next week as we come together to celebrate Easter Sunday.